Well, good afternoon, Calvary Baptist listeners, and I wanted to do an update for our congregation, and if it benefits anyone else, then so be it. This is just a COVID-19 update, and also an encouraging devotional to go along with it for some perspective. But as of today, April 3rd, or actually as of April 2nd at 11:30 p.m., the COVID-19 update in Alaska is 157 cases, 15 hospitalizations, and 3 deaths. Now, for our state, which we're basically locked down, that might not seem a large number, but when you consider, you know, our population and how remote we are, that's actually pretty big. And in the United States altogether, which includes the 50 states, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Northern Marianas Islands, and Mariana Islands, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, the cases are 266,671, with 6,921 deaths. It's starting to look, it's huge. Worldwide, over a million cases, 1,083,084 cases and 6,921 deaths. In the U.S. and, in the world, and worldwide deaths, 58,243. And that's as of, the CDC update and the, Center for Disease Control update and the World Health Organization update as of April 3rd, 2020. And the U.S. recommendation for containing the outbreak as of, the president's recommendation from, I think it was March 29th, was that the social distancing and containment continue until the end of April. Basically, that is that's that particular update on the coronavirus that I know of, and has been monitoring it for the sake of our congregation. We have Resurrection Sunday coming up on April 12th, 2020. There are people that have expressed to me that they're getting a little antsy and miss gathering together. And I'm grateful to hear that, because fellowship is an important part of who we are as Christians, what we do as Christians, saints desiring to have fellowship. I understand. I live for Sundays and Wednesday nights. It is my joy to gather together with you. And I'll be talking with our deacons about the possibility of maybe doing something like I've seen in California, from friends of ours who attend a church down there in Southern California where they actually sat in the parking lot with their vehicles and the preacher preached from the, outside through a speaker system. And so it was like a drive-in, and I mentioned it to one of our deacons yesterday. So there's that possibility, weather dependent, possibly because we have such small numbers that we might be able to do some social distancing. But if we don't, let me give you an encouraging devotional that will provide you some perspective concerning what we're doing now, because this is a serious thing. This is a transference. As far as its contagion or its being contagious, it transfers by touch, and it can linger for 24 hours to 3 days, I guess. So anything that you happen to touch, so washing your hands constantly, don't touch your face. Those things are important to continue to do. Maintain the social distancing. Go out and enjoy the weather. Yesterday was snowing terrible, and I went out to shovel some snow, but as I was meditating upon a verse, I intended on doing this, but I realized I can't wait. I need to do this now and give you some encouraging words. Psalm 5 and verse 6 are two of the chapters from our 4 reading portions from the Robert Murray McShane reading plan. And I already wrote a devotional from Psalm chapter 6, verse 9, but I want to give a little bit of the devotional with some perspective from Psalm 5 and verse 11. It says this in the King James Version: "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, I want to give a quote from Mr. Spurgeon concerning this particular passage of scripture that he preached on May 25th, 1890. It's found in Volume 36, Sermon 2146 of the Metropolitan Tabernacle Pulpit. Mr. Spurgeon says this: "The subject for this morning is joy, the joy of faith, the joy which is the fruit of the Spirit from the root of trust in God. May we not only talk about it at this hour, but enjoy it now and forever and evermore. It is pleasant to read and hear and think about joy, but to be filled with joy and peace through believing is a far more satisfying thing. I want you to see not only the sparkling fountain of joy, but to drink deep draughts of it. Yes, and drink all the week and all the month and all the year and all the rest of your lives, both in time and in eternity. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King." End quote from Mr. Spurgeon. Now, I realize as far as the lockdown goes and we haven't been gathering in church, I recognize that Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I actually even know of churches that, smaller churches, smaller congregations that can do the social distancing within their congregation, telling members to, if you're sick, don't come, and they're still gathering together. I'm not saying whether they should or shouldn't. I'm just offering a perspective for those that do, like our church is closed, and we gotta go, an hour away to a store that has all kinds of other people going to it. And since it is in Soldotna and Kenai, this virus, as we hear of those cases, it can be dangerous. So you got to wash your hands. You got to maintain social distancing. And I want you to consider this. Have you considered this? Mary and Joseph, under government order, that they must be registered for the census, God used that order, he placed that order in the heart of Caesar in order to get a pregnant girl to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, probably during the Feast of Tabernacles. So, with that in perspective, we're saying, this government lockdown, but we're going to trust in the Lord and we're going to, wait a minute there. We don't want to become, as Oswald Chambers says, amateur providences. And take the sovereignty of God into our own hands. We should be at least a little, consider that this might be offering us an opportunity. And I believe that this is the Lord using this situation and circumstances of refining fire. Let me ask you this. How important is church attendance to you? Now, we may see across America when this is said and done, when the virus is contained and so forth, that folks will forsake the assembling together because they've already gotten used to not gathering together. Only those who see its value and its importance are longing to continue to gather together But albeit there might be some people that have turned it into a legalistic work. Well, we need to gather together and we need to do this. See, is it important? Perhaps fellowship has become an idol in our lives. That it's so important that we better go. We're not worshiping God. And it becomes a legalistic work or an idol within our lives, making it more important in value to an omnipresent Christ, who said he would never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Okay? Now consider this also. As I mentioned Joseph and Mary, let me tell you about another Joseph, as you all know. Joseph in the book of Genesis, the son of Jacob, the 11th son of Jacob. 13 years he was away from fellowship with believers. He was among the godless Egyptians, and for much of it he was in prison. He was sold into bondage in Potiphar's house, and then he's in prison under false accusations. He was 17 years old when his brother sold him into bondage, and he was 30 when Pharaoh had his dream and he was promoted to the second position in the land. So I want you to consider that. Consider also the testings of Joseph's brother during the famine were such that they, where it drew out the change in their lives when they didn't recognize Joseph and they came during the famine. They didn't recognize him, but we notice in the recorded record of their lives that their lives were changed and they had an honorable disposition that God had brought about in their lives. Even Judah, who suggested that he be as a type of Judas Iscariot, who suggested that he be sold, was the one who said that he would give his son in his place, and that if he didn't bring Benjamin back, the son of the right hand. So we see that in those incredible truths there. What the devil means for evil, God uses for good. We know this from the end of Joseph's story in Genesis 50, verse 20, that he says to his brothers, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, don't give the devil more credit than is due him. Christ defeated that old rascal, and our God is still sovereign. He is good and will accomplish all his good purposes in Christ Jesus. Rest assured of that. Let me ask you another question. How important is prayer in your life? How important is prayer in your life? Are you praying more during this crisis? Now, it's a trick question, because if you are, shame on you. You should have been praying just as much in good times as bad. Or maybe you're praying less. I have to admit that there are a couple times where I got caught up on doing some other things rather than just being on my knees, which is more important, to be upon my knees in prayer. Perhaps you've only prayed along with others when gathering together in the assembly and you've nearly forsaken prayer, or pray much less. Don't be an old couch potato full of eyes. Turn off Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and bow your hearts to Him. Bow your hearts to the Lord. Remember, prayer is not our grocery list of wants and desires. It's the grace of God who has given us this access to submit to His holy will, to His holy way, and His glory in Christ. How's your daily feeding in the Word of God? Has it increased? Has it decreased? This time should give you an opportunity to see Jesus Christ exalted in your life, as the last portion of the verse says, "Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Or as the ESV says, that those who love your name may exalt you. Take joy in you. Are you seeing Christ in scriptures? Are you seeing Christ within your situation? Are you drawing nearer to Him? Again, as we've just gone back to the verse, let me look at the first part of the verse that says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. The first part of it, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord? In the Hebrew, it uses the word chasa, which literally means to take refuge. So another way that you could say this is, but let all who take refuge in thee rejoice. The second part of it, I've already covered the third part, but the second part, let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Because he's our refuge. Because he is our refuge. Whether we're gathering together on Sundays and Wednesday nights at our building, we're the church. We are the church. And that he will never leave us or forsake us, that truth should bring us great joy. That we should be shouting. Even by ourselves or with our families, we should be shouting for joy because it is He who defends us. It is He who protects us. It is He who is our refuge. And we don't take refuge in the place where we gather. That when we gather in fellowship, it's an opportunity to see Christ in others and to praise him collectively. And that is, you know, basically it presents the gospel in its final conclusion. That's what we'll be doing for all of eternity when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But right now, it doesn't matter where I am if I am in Christ, because where I am on this planet is not the most important thing. Who I am in Christ is my, and where I am in Christ is everywhere. He is everywhere. So being in Christ is that which is most important. And because we're in Christ, we want to gather. We want to read. We want to pray. Because those are the truths to which bring us blessings to see Christ more and more until he returns. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you, the blessed truth of your word will minister to us. We pray that we may continue to pray, that we may be to continue to be in the word. May your prayers, may our prayers not be, as I mentioned, the grocery list of our desires, but that gracious gift that you have given us so that we may access your will and submit and surrender to your will and to your way and to your wonderful glory in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us during this time, most especially because we haven't had that encouragement to gather together as we should and assemble together and to provoke one another unto love and good works. But we pray that even during this time that we may do so and that may be a witness to the world. And we pray, Father, that you'll humble us, that we may commune with you and see that we have been given a blessed opportunity, that you may refine us as fire, that you may weed out those that have given you lip service through deedless word religion and heartless works religion. And pray that we may not give you lip service, Lord, but our hearts and our minds are renewed by your word, and that our hearts are knit to Jesus Christ, that from our hearts, our mouths may speak, and it may be true and glorious to you, and exalting to Jesus Christ. And in his name, and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.